January 27, 1925, just as things created by God do not go out of him, because the divine will becomes their nourishment and preservation, the same happens for the soul who lives in the divine will. While I was fusing myself in the holy divine will, I thought to myself, before, when I used to fuse myself in the holy supreme volition, Jesus was with me, and I entered into it together with him. Therefore entering was a reality. But now I don't see him, so I don't know whether I am entering the eternal volition or not. In forming the act of entering the divine will, I feel, rather, like one who is reciting a little lesson, learned by heart, or that those words of entrance are just a way of saying. Now, as I was thinking of this, my adorable Jesus moved in my interior, and taking my hand in his own, pushed me up high, and told me, "My daughter, you must know that, whether you see me or not, every time you fuse yourself in my will, from within your interior, I take your hand and push you high, and from heaven I give you my other hand to take your other hand and pull you up into our midst, in our interminable will. Therefore, you are between my hands, in my arms. You must know that all the acts done in our will enter into the prime act when we created all beings. And the acts of the creature, in kissing ours, because one is the will which gives life to these acts, diffuse in all created things, just as our will is diffused everywhere. They become return of love, continuous adoration and glory, for all that we have delivered in creation. Only that which is done in our will begins, almost together with us, to give us a return of perennial love, adoration in a divine manner, glory that never ends. And since the love we feel for all the things we created is so great that we did not allow them to go out of our will, they all remained with us, just as we created them, and our will became the preservation and nourishment of the whole creation. This is why our things remain always new, fresh and beautiful, nor does the substance of any of them increase or decrease, since they were created all perfect by us, and therefore not subject to any kind of alteration, because they all conserve their origin, as they let themselves be nourished and preserved by our will, and remain around us to sing our glory. But, miserably, the creature of reason does not do so, when, by sin, she separates from our will. Now, the work of the creature in our will enters into our works, and our will becomes nourishment, preservation and act of the very act of the creature. These acts done in our will by the creature, place themselves around us, and transfused in all created things, sing our perpetual glory. How different is our work, and the love with which we operate, from that of the creature. In us, our love for the work we do is so great that we do not allow it to go outside of ourselves, that it may lose nothing of the beauty with which it was made. On the other hand, if the creature of reason does a good work, or even one virtuous act, she is unable to keep it with herself. Rather, many times she doesn't know what happened to her work, whether it got dirty, or whether they reduced it to a rag, sign of her little love for her own works. And since the creature, because of sin, went out from her foundation, that is, the prime divine will from which she took origin, she lost true love toward God, toward herself, and toward her works. I wanted man to be in my will by his own will, not by force, because I loved him more than all other created things, and I wanted him to be like a king in the midst of my works. But man, ungrateful, wanted to go out from his origin. Therefore, he was transformed and lost his freshness and beauty, and was subject to alterations and continuous changes. And as much as I call him to return into his origin, he plays deaf, pretending not to hear me. But my love is such that I keep waiting for him, and I continue to call him,